Howdy, 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 folks. Welcome back to this episode of Hoot and a Half. I'm Matt King.
And I'm Mike Sheffer.
And on this episode today, we have the lovely Natalie Marinduena. How do you say her last name?
I think it's Marinduena.
Oh, is it Marinduena?
Yeah, but her Instagram's Natalie Noel.
She's very ambiguous about her name because it's Natalie Noel, but on her Instagram like name, it says Natalie M.
Yeah, I don't know how people know her. I mean,
well, Natalie, if you're listening, I'm sorry if I got your last name wrong. You don't say it that much, and none of us really say it. So pardon me for mispronouncing it. But I'm so excited to have Natalie on. She's like a sister to me, and I'm really happy that she joined us today. And it's a really great conversation. I hope you guys enjoy it. She has a lot of great stories to tell. She's an incredible woman.
Talk about the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
And also, I just want to add thank you so much to everyone who has been listening, who has followed the podcast, and who has shared it with all of your friends. It really means a lot. The tweets, the Instagram story mentions, I see it all, and I just want to thank you so much. And if you haven't already, please leave a review, share it with your friends. The support just means everything in spreading the vibe. And thank you once again for listening to Hoot and a Half, and enjoy this episode with Natalie Noel.
Marinduena.
Marinduena. test 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm looking at an image of bedazzled fries.
Go ahead. Hi, I love being here, and I love smoothies.
Okay, that was Natalie, and this is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Are you going to sit on the floor?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I might change positions halfway through.
Go for it. I mean, whatever makes you comfortable, Natalie, that's what makes me comfortable, you know?
Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Natalie. You are our first morning guest. I mean, it's like 10 a.m., but this feels pretty early. And we may like this time of day to start.
It's definitely a little bit different to do this like first thing in the morning versus after a full day.
That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, we do ours at like midnight, so.
Yeah, so I hope maybe the juices are different. Maybe they are better. But thank you for joining us. You are eating what looks like a delicious breakfast.
Mm-hmm. I just chugged my smoothie. My mouth is like frozen. I feel like I can barely talk. It's like,
it's going to be numb for how cold it is. And wait, what's on your arm right now?
I just went to the doctor and got some blood drawn, making sure I'm nice and healthy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've had my blood tested. Have you had your blood tested recently, Mike?
I think the last time I went to my pediatrician before I turned 18 was the last time I had any sort of medical exam.
That was the last time?
Yeah.
Mike, you probably should get your blood tested.
I'm healthy.
You think so? What type of blood are you?
Does anybody know that?
Matt would definitely know.
Well,
that.
I know I'm not O blood.
Right. I know that too. I don't know my blood type, though.
Yeah. I think maybe.
Have you ever looked at a chart of what the blood type flow is from, like, who can accept, who can receive? You need like a PhD to even understand how to, like, there's so many different variables. If you're O positive, O negative, AB, AB positive, AB negative, like.
But can't, if you are O, isn't O the one that can blend with any other type of blood? That's why it's such
like the universal.
Yeah.
Blood
it's
type.
Like, it's a universal blood type. I'm pretty sure.
I have no idea.
Look at us. Just a bunch of.
Welcome back to medical science.
Yes.
Natalie.
Yes. Talking about things we do not know about.
Anything about, yeah.
Natalie, are you having a good day?
I'm having a great day. I love getting my shit done early in the morning.
Are you a morning person?
I wouldn't say I'm a morning person. I guess like I'm becoming a morning person. I definitely was not before, like in college and things like that. But recently, just because like David's not up yet, it's 10 a.m. David doesn't get up till like around noon. So like 8 a.m. to noon is like Natalie time. Like I can do whatever I want, go to my doctor's appointments, get my smoothies, come do podcasts, work out, just do whatever the hell I want. It's really nice.
And then once the beast awakes, then it's like go time. Mm-hmm. Then it gets crazier.
Then the whip cracks and everybody has to, I'm just kidding. And then everybody has to just, you know, we're just all hands on David, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's wanting to make TikToks. He wants to brainstorm shit. It's just whatever.
Does he usually tell you what his plan is the night before to give you a heads up?
I feel like you know David enough to know that absolutely not.
It's probably Natalie explaining to him what, for the millionth time, what the day is going to be. And just him not listening.
But. Yeah.
And I've always wondered from your side as being David's assistant, now like his top assistant, because you guys have two new people working under you. It's like its own mini company. Uh-huh. Are you, like, what is your process every day? Are you waking up to a lot of emails, or has somebody filtered those emails down to you? Are you having to sift through a whole bunch of texts coming in? Mm-hmm. Or like, are you sitting down at a computer answering all these calls?
Is there like office hours, Natalie?
Yeah, because I mostly just see you on your phone, you know, handling stuff
TCD
here and there, being on the phone, talking to people. But you go away. You really don't like bring a call into
right. Like the environment.
Yeah.
I mean, David has his own email and I have my own email. So like at this point in the game, like, but when I first started, I used to be on, you know, David's email every morning and checking through those. But now everybody knows, like, don't even bother emailing David. Just email me if you want to get an answer. So I don't really check his email anymore. That's more of like a Taylor and Ella thing. And I just do my emails. I wake up to like a shit ton of texts every morning and just like, I don't know, just go through it.
Do you answer every single one?
I am that person that like, I can't have that, you know, like David has a little blue bubble on his phone of like 300 unread texts or emails or whatever.
Oh yeah, I'm the same way.
I'm not like that. I have to at least open it and answer every single one.
Inbox zero is
inbox zero. I'm not a believer in inbox zero.
I know.
Something...
Like, they're also the group chats can get that can like really elevate really quickly. You can have about 600 messages just from one group chat.
Right.
And then if you once you open that up, then that drops significantly. But
when does the new iPhone update come out?
In the fall.
Oh, I can't wait for like the pinned text messages at
that,
the top.
Nat, what they're doing with iPhone?
No.
You can go ahead.
You explain.
Basically, like in your text messages in the app, you can have up to 9 like favorites at the top. So if you ever need to like reference someone quickly, you can just tap the top 9. And then also in your group chats, you can reply to someone directly and you can like mute yourself in the group chat and you'll only get a notification if someone like tags you in the group chat. So it's more like Slack or like an email system.
It sounds so much more organized because I just had my birthday and I love getting messages from friends on birthdays. It's so sweet and awesome. But now my inbox is just destroyed or everything's lost.
And all your like recent contacts are just pushed to the bottom. And it's like, oh my God, I haven't texted my mom back in 3 days.
Yeah.
Because you have 800 birthday texts that you have to get through. So
you know what I really love to have in text messages, just like email, is like mark unread. So like I saw your message.
Yes.
I don't have an answer for you yet. I'm going to mark it unread and come back to it because they always get lost. And
don't
then I feel terrible.
Not for text.
Not
no,
for text.
That's a very good point, Nat. You can't do that. Once you, even if you accidentally open it, now it's like, okay, I want to come back to that later, but you can't.
Yeah. I think about that a lot, like every day.
Right. Welcome to our tech podcast, everyone. So Natalie, you were born in Chicago.
Yeah. We're starting from the beginning here.
Yeah.
Let me tell you my life story. I was born in Chicago, born and raised. Go Cubbies. And that was like the most Chicago thing.
Is that a real thing? Do you actually care about them? Or that was just like...
I mean, not currently, but like I definitely grew up. Like my dad, my mom grew up in the suburbs, Vernon Hills, where I live with David or next to David. And my dad grew up with him in Wrigleyville, like literally right down the street from where the Cubs play. Like I have a little brick outside the stadium, says my name, and it says Natalie Mariduena loves
no
the Cubs.
No way!
Whoa, how do you have that?
Because there was a lottery system for it. So like my dad and my uncle, the day that it happened, they lined up for hours outside of Wrigley. We lived right there, so they just woke up and went. And they waited and they got like a lottery number and they were able to get the brick.
That's awesome. So you didn't have to pay for it?
No, I think you had to pay like $500 or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Usually you do have to pay for something like that.
Yeah.
But that's still really cool. Why didn't we go see it when we were right outside this stadium during St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been a fun thing.
I know. I've seen it. Like I go to visit it a couple times. And it's funny because they just redid the stadium. So like all my family, we had all of our bricks together.
Oh,
but now they redid the stadium. So they had to, they took up all the bricks and they moved them. So now everybody in my family, like our bricks are all around in different places. They're not together anymore. It's kind of funny.
Did they contact you and let you know where the new brick is? And whose job is that? Having to reorganize all these bricks, contact the families, let them know their new position.
Yeah.
I would love to do one of those like Crayola, like rub-ons that you have when like on a brick, like you like get a piece of paper and get a Crayola and like.
And then it's on the brick permanently? Or
no, then it's on the piece of paper.
Right, and it's just like, it makes a print.
Yeah.
What
do they call those? Like a little etching.
Like a stencil?
Kind of. Mm.
I don't know.
Mike cannot understand.
That's cool. So you have a brick there outside of Wrigley Stadium. You're growing up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Did you move around a lot?
No. I mean, my dad was in Wrigley, and then my mom was up in Vernon Hills, and that was just kind of like the thing. I remember like my for a long period of time, because like they were divorced, so visitation was kind of funny or funky, where I would have to spend, you know, my dad picked me from school on Friday, and he would always, to beat rush hour traffic, he would always like pull me out of school like a half hour early so I could get
so tight.
So I could get out of school.
Nothing better.
My mom hated it. She was like, "You're not allowed to do that, blah blah blah," and he would just come sneak me out, and then we would beat traffic and get down to the city quicker instead of waiting 3 hours in traffic to get downtown. But then on Mondays he would have to like do my hair and take me to school, and I have to wake up at like 5 a.m. to get to school by like 7 or 8 or whatever it was. And it's just so funny because like there's pictures of like my mom, you know, getting me ready for school, like the perfect tight pigtails, mm-hmm. and my dad doing it. And it's just like such a dude, just has no idea. But I don't know. It was good.
That's great. Yeah. And you went, so you grew up in Vernon Hills, and then you met David when you were in middle school or high school?
In middle school. Yeah. Middle school. I feel like he's told this story a couple times, but he moved, his parents were looking at a new place to live. And it's funny because actually David, when he first moved to Illinois, he moved to Skokie, which is a town. And my mom and I lived in Skokie at the same time, right before I moved to Vernon Hills. We lived in Skokie for just like a little bit of time. And David was also living in Skokie and then moved to Vernon Hills. It's like a really weird coincidence.
We guys didn't know each other.
No, we didn't know each other then. But then I moved to Vernon Hills when I was in like first grade or kindergarten. And he moved to Vernon Hills when he was in like fourth grade, I believe. And then all the kids in our neighborhood all hung out because it was like this townhome complex. Everyone's homes like face each other. Like, mm-hmm. you're very close. But I was kind of like the loner kid. Like, I would just like stay in my room. I didn't like go outside and play with the kids when they were like running around. Like, I just like kept to myself. And, I remember walking home from school, and he moved to the neighborhood. Sorry, backtracking. He moved to the neighborhood, and he saw me getting my mail in our like community mailbox. And he was like, "Who's that girl? She's so cute." Like, my hair blowing in the wind. Cue like sexy soundtrack. just kidding. And then it wasn't for like a couple years. I don't even know. Cause like our townhomes are literally connected to each other. Like, I don't know how we didn't meet each other sooner. Like, I was that much of a loner that I just literally didn't meet him. But it took a couple of years. And then in middle school, we were walking home, and there was always this group of kids that would walk home together. And I would just walk home by myself. And then one day they were just like, "Hey, you know, calling, whatever." They're like, "Why do you walk so fast? Why are you walking by yourself?" Just like, you know, picking on me, trying to be funny. And then from then on out, I like just walked home with them every single day. And that's John, Reggie, Mike, Alex. Like, those are all my best friends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then the friendship blossomed more and more into high school. You guys are like hanging out every single day all the time.
I wouldn't say like, I mean, so middle school, like I didn't really hang out with them. Like, I had a completely different group of friends inside of school.
Right.
And then I would walk home with them.
Oh, so you're after school friends.
Yeah. And like, I didn't really hang out. Yeah, I would just walk home with them, and we would get up into trouble or whatever, and like hang out outside or, you know, in the parking lot or whatever. But yeah, I had a completely different group of friends inside of school. And then when we got into high school, I don't know, like they were all boys. I was the only girl. I was the only girl. So it was all these boys, and I was just the girl hanging out with them. And so they would just do boy stuff, and I just, you know, I like went and did my girl stuff. So they would like, I'd walk home with them, and they would all do their own thing, like play video games and, you know, whatever weird shit they got into. But then I would go hang out with other people. But yeah,
you went to college. You had plans for college.
Mm-hmm.
You played soccer. What?
Just that's such like a bizarre like picture of Natalie like going to class, picking her courses, getting the instructor. Like,
you were what, a psychology and environmental studies major?
Yes, Matt King, bravo, bounty.
Double major or
double major?
Wow, yes. Saving the world, the environment, and how we think,
and my friends. Yeah,
very admirable. What was your desired career path?
I actually went, I was home like a month ago for my sister's birthday, and I was hanging out with Reggie, my best friend, at home. And I went to college like 20 minutes from home, right on the lake. And I hadn't been to Lake Forest in like so long. And I, is there every single day, every summer. It's just like such a crazy thing. Like it's like, it feels like a different life, like mm-hmm. college, Natalie. And so I went back and I just like drove through campus and like to the soccer field and like to my friends' old homes and apartments and stuff. And it's just like so surreal to see, because it just doesn't even feel like I've changed so much and become like a different person. Like it's just a different life in the past couple of years. But I don't know. Sorry, what was your original question?
Would you want to be when you grew up?
But basically, I went to school. My dad's in pharmaceuticals, so he always pushed me down like the pre-med path. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, that is not your calling, honey. Like, you do not want to be taking bio and chem and all this other, you know, shit. And I did it for my first year. And it was hell. Like I'm not a person that wants to go sit in the library and study for hours on end and do study groups and all that stuff.
Make flashcards and memorize formulas.
I miss that. I miss like being given a prompt and having to like challenge your brain on like to absorb a whole bunch of information in a short amount of time. Those are what I miss. I just miss the structure and like the less ambiguity.
Yeah.
Of our days that right. we live in now, but continue though.
I had taken all those science courses and I was doing an environmental science minor already. So I was like, I don't want to keep taking biochem, physics, all this shit. So I decided just to switch over to psychology because a lot of the courses kind of cross over, but it's a little bit of an easier, like social science, you know, it's more easier to comprehend. And I just kind of switched over. I don't really know what my intentions were going to be after college, which is why I'm so thankful. David was like, hey, come work for me. And I was like, hey, okay. But yeah, I don't know. Like when people ask me like, what would you be doing right now? I literally have no fucking clue.
Psychology,
what
psychology, environmental studies. Like I'm thinking like an animal therapist or like a dog medium
of some sort.
Yeah. And when David started hitting it big online, were you surprised or not at all because he had already had that spark in him of being a total class clown and quick and creative into making his content?
I knew that he had like, he was an internet person, like he was doing YouTube and somehow monetizing from it, but I never understood what that meant and I never like really cared to look into it. I was just like, oh, cool, whatever. And then when he bought his house and I came out here for the summer for like 2 weeks to decorate it with Reggie.
I remember that. Yeah. That was like the first time we met.
Right. First time I met everybody from here. I remember I was at Bellingham. You guys were having a pool party the day that we got in. And I was like, this is your life? Like you were all just like hanging by the pool, drinking. Like I was so confused. Just like I didn't understand it. And I think there's a lot of people in my life now, when I go home and things, like it's just so hard for people to understand like what it is we do and how it's an actual career.
Right.
But I saw that you guys were having fun and I didn't really have like anything, you know, I didn't have anything really to do. And that was when David had asked me like, do you want to be my assistant and Liza's? I was actually supposed to be both of their assistants.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Which I think was David's idea. He was just like, oh, like Natalie's capable. She can just do it for both of us. But like in the grand scheme of things, I would have never worked out like having to run two people. One person just can't run both of their lives. They're both so important and busy. And, but I took the opportunity and then I came out here and thankfully I did. I think he was getting like 1 to 2 million views per video at that point, which is crazy to think about. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't understand, it's hard for me to comprehend what 1 to 2 million people is. So I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Being like a person who's separated from it, it just doesn't seem real, but we're more like immersed in it. So our perspective's different.
Right. And you were still in college when he invited you out here that time?
Mm-hmm. He wanted me to drop out just like he did. And I was like, I cannot do that.
Were you going to try to get like credit for it as a signed off internship?
That's what I did. That's how I doubled up on credits my first semester of senior year so that I could just move out here. And all I had was 2 credits. And I took a 2 credit internship with David Dobrik LLC.
Double D LLC. Yeah. And did you think it was going to get as big as where it's at now? Or did you have expectations like, oh, it's just going to kind of stay where it's at. I'm going to be David's assistant. This is just going to be a thing I do for work. You didn't see it becoming the the creature it's become today?
I definitely saw potential. Like, once I was in it and, like, fully trained on, like, what he, like, the capability, like, what he could be capable of. And, like, I knew that he was, once I was, it's hard because I know David's hilarious, but I honestly, when he told me he wasn't going to college, like, I just thought he was going to live in Vernon Hills for the rest of his life, work at the retirement home. Like,
right.
I definitely didn't think he was going to be some fucking superstar like he is now. And, but then once I was out here and, like, I really started, like, I came into it, like, really quickly. I feel like I wrapped my head around the concept pretty easily, which is kind of weird. Like, oh, okay, yeah, he's going to do this and we're just going to do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how I take on everything that we do. Like, whenever we come up with a vlog idea or we're filming things, like, things happen so quickly that you just don't have time to process, like, how insane or immense or whatever it is that you're accomplishing, you know? It's just
right.
So quick.
And there's it's such a mess.
Right.
There's such a mess.
And you're after the one that it all falls on.
It all came down to you. I remember when you had just moved out here and David was starting to do bigger and bigger, more elaborate stunts. It would make me sick to my stomach sometimes going over there going, oh my gosh, poor Natalie has to deal with all of this. Yeah. I can't do it. I can't. But I really admire that you are like, bring it on. Let's handle it. Next thing, move it on. Mm-hmm. Was there ever a time where you wanted to throw the towel in?
Oh my
or
God.
Snapped at David? Like, bro, I cannot do this. Of I cannot course. Continue.
David and I mean, like, we bicker all the time, like brother and sister, but there's definitely moments. And I think there was the only mutual moment that I can really recall was, like, I think early 2019, like a year ago, there was like a 3-month span where we just like fucking hated each other. Like, we were working together, we were getting shit done, whatever. But like, in the back of my mind, I wanted to quit. In the back of his mind, he wanted to fire me. And like, we both, like, after the 3 months of us just like having this passive aggressive tension, we like talked it out because we just got in a big fight. Like, we were just, you know, whatever, we were arguing and we talked it out and we'd both been feeling like the same things, but we weren't talking about it because him and I are both the same way, where we just don't, where, you know, suppress the emotion and stuff. And it is really funny because like, we both felt it, but nobody said anything. Right. And, but then other than that, like, I mean, we always get out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Back then you were also doing what 3+ people are doing now.
Right.
You were doing like at the very highest level of managing these $1 million things. And mm-hmm. then also just like cleaning up after him when he just like shoots people with a paintball gun and you're like, okay, let me clean it up right now. And it's just like, you come a long way.
Right. Yeah. It is really crazy. I can't even like, poor Taylor. Because she's a lot more hands-on, just because I could never, I mean, as much as I cleaned up after him and like would make things for him and get things for him, I could never like totally fulfill like that motherly role, just because he's my best friend and I just can't position myself to be that person.
Precisely cut up watermelon into bite-sized cubes.
Yeah,
and
fuck no. I cannot, like, I just go pick up your own shit. Like, I just can't. I can't do that.
Right.
But Taylor is so motherly and so patient and so caring. And she's, like, she's so great at her job. So God bless her.
you guys really picked the perfect people for the job. It's almost like you watch a really good movie and the casting in it is incredible.
Yeah.
And you guys really picked the right people to work for David. And, you know, there's so many people who reach out mm-hmm. through every avenue of the vlog squad being like, I want to work for David. I want to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
What qualities did you see in Taylor and Ella that you knew that they were perfect for the job?
With Taylor, I remember, because we hired her like almost a year ago now. And I remember I needed help with David's surprise birthday party that we were doing, the golden birthday party we threw for him last year. And I was trying to, you know, throw on this big party and coordinate all these different
great
things.
Great party, by the way.
Oh yeah. That was like a bar mitzvah.
Brockhampton showed up.
Yeah. Wow. Like,
that was like peak. Great party. And that's there was so like funny. An ABBA cover band.
There was a stage. There was golden balloons. Right. There was a wheel of games.
Wheel of
that's right. We had a snake there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't like an event.
Right. So it was a little challenging for me to put together.
And it was like on a Tuesday night, the day before. You're like, everyone buy gold today. And
I feel like the band didn't start until 11 p.m. I thought we were getting shut down like right when the first song played. So, but that was Taylor's like first night.
That was her first like trial thing. And she had been recommended to me through a friend, and she just, you know, she had just graduated. She wasn't working or whatever. So she came to help. And I was just sending her. I was like, get this, do that, run this, do that. And poor girl, like, I just threw her through the ringer because I was trying to get this shit done. And but she pulled through and like we got it done. And we were looking to hire, and she had, you know, she just, it was like all just the right timing. The right things like fell into place. And she was super cool. She was from the area. She knew people. So like when I was trying to get things, she knew people that could coordinate and do it. And she had been working in PR, like at a PR agency, like during college. So she had like a little bit of experience. And then Ella used to work for Casey Neistat, who you guys had previously on the podcast. And she was basically coordinating everything at 368, his company in New York. And she was just really, she's very like mature and independent and resourceful
and eclectic.
Yeah. And just cool. Like, she's a cool fucking girl.
Yeah.
And great style.
And she can dance. She's got moves. She is like great with her feet.
She can do the TikTok.
The TikTok. Yeah. The TikTok trio, Natalie, Taylor, and Ella.
She can do that cool TikTok dance where you move your feet. Like you kind of angle them one
point
way.
Them
it's
in
like
and
almost
out.
Like kind of like pigeon or not pigeon toed. How would you say like penguin feet or you? Just go
you just
kind of
like,
out,
you know, swish
in,
them
out,
in and out.
In,
yeah.
Out. She's very good at that.
She's great. Multi-talented Ella. Yeah. But she just helped us with so many things when we would come to New York, like whether it was getting a blade to get to JFK, like one of the helicopters, yeah, or getting cars or finding restaurants. She was just very resourceful. Mm-hmm. And that's like more than anything, like more than like your college degree and whatever other things you can put on paper, like being a smart person is what gets you the job at the end of the day. And like, mm-hmm, she was really smart. And we could trust her. And that's also more important, more than anything, is trust, obviously.
So it has been better having two extra hands supporting David.
Totally.
But do you ever like just cry out of the stress of it all?
I don't cry. I've probably cried like twice maybe. But I remember when I first started the job, I was in a relationship with my college boyfriend, and long distance is tough. Like I don't recommend it for anybody. Mm-hmm. And especially like when you just try like something that works so well in one environment and trying to like transplant it and make it work, like forcing it to work in one way, it's just like, it's not going to work out. And that was like really hard, like trying to keep a relationship and also keep like, you know, David happy, my relationship happy. That was like, that brought on some tears. But like other than that, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like the job was so stressful. I don't really think it's not, I think there's stressful moments, but then, you know, you, there's days when there's not much going on, and there's days when there's a shit ton of stuff going on. You just, it's kind of like a balance, you know.
Mm-hmm. I hear you out. I don't know why I asked if you cried a lot. I'm just like concerned because you never know like
do you cry?
How stressful it gets behind closed doors, you know? And I think you're a saint and you work very, very hard and you have just this incredible invisible magic wand and you make things happen. And it's just, it's really cool to witness. And it's really awesome to see how much you've grown.
Thank you.
Hope you're enjoying this episode. We're just going to take a quick break to give a word from our sponsors. And now back to the episode.
Do you think of the Natalie Mariduena story as, I don't know if this is a TikTok thing, but like, do you have a main character perspective for where you see yourself going? Or are you still very much in the mindset of like, this is David Dobrik LLC and mm-hmm, you're a part of that machine? There is obviously a Natalie and you have your own skills and dreams and hopes and stuff. Do you have that like in the back of your mind, in the front of your mind? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think... I've always, like, I think the David Dobrik train is a very large train, and it's something like the projects that he works on, the things that I like help him create, like it's my favorite thing. But I do like, you know, I have grown my own following, so I love doing my own independent things too. But I definitely have the mindset where I'm like David's right hand woman, you know, and I think that there's a lot of like respect that comes with that. Like I love when we go into meetings or we go into pitches or whatever the heck we're doing, and like I'm that like one woman in the room that like knows more than like half the men in the room. Like that's like a very empowering feeling for me, and like that like another man is relying, and being David, is relying on me to be like a spokesperson for him and like convey his thoughts and his creative and things like that. Like that's a very empowering feeling. So I love the position that I'm in. But I mean, I definitely think about like other things and other projects, and I definitely have other passions than David.
Yeah.
But
almost like David Dobrik LLC is a vehicle through which you can express your skills and abilities as an independent, intelligent, successful business person.
Right, totally.
And then on the other side of it, you do have like, you know, the millions of fans and stuff. But what I think I was hoping to hear, but mm-hmm. is going to be the goal of 2020 is to get Natalie on the Maxim 100 list.
Oh God.
I've been saying that for a long time.
I forgot.
We were
about
talking
that.
About this the other night.
I don't even know if the Maxim Hot 100 list is as big of a list as it used to be when we were younger, but Natalie could totally get on it.
Are there like things like I think that that's such a cool thing to want to do, and I would like, I feel like that's such a cool project.
Of course, you friggin' little horny boys over here.
No, I mean, it's like one of those, it's like being on like GQ, like Men of the Year or something. Like,
totally.
It's just like a nice traditional media recognition where it's like, sure, you can go to New York and have the screaming fans outside 368, whatever, but mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just like a cool thing that you can get to do.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's other Natalie vanity projects that you'd want.
Or right. Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah.
Natalie, you are very qualified.
30 under 30, Forbes 30 under 30.
Believe you for that. But
yeah,
the Max,
that would be, were you in Forbes 30 under 30?
No, God no. Why would I be in Forbes 30 under 30?
Because you're Natalie Noel on Instagram.
You guys are holding me to the highest regard, which I appreciate.
I mean, but
I don't think the Maxim Hot 100 has come out this year.
It hasn't. Ooh. I don't, but because we had a very long discussion about this the other night. Us three.
Who?
Me.
Us three.
Oh, no, it was me, you, and Ella, I think. Or
no, Matt was part of it.
Oh, I think I was talking about it. Okay, I was worried you were already plotting this with David.
Oh, no.
Because I suggested this to David, like, I don't know, like a year ago, but I just would like to see it. Not the picture of you like in Hot 100, just the whole,
just
getting
that
you
happened.
In the magazine. Yeah, yeah.
Right,
going
right.
through the process, hearing their interview questions, like,
it's
and then
so funny.
Buying the magazine, flipping to page 32. Like,
it's just seeing Natalie in it. So,
so funny. There's definitely Maxim Hot 100 would be great. Forbes 30 or 30 would be even better. I would love, there's a lot of things. And I also find that there's a lot of, like when David and I do things together, whether he likes it or not, there's like a lot of power that comes with that. Like, and whether that's in like numbers of sales or just like, you know, the impact that it has when we do things together. Cause it's just having like a male and a female, you cover like all your bases, you know? And that's, you know, powerful in and of itself. And I think that there's a lot of projects, like there's a lot of David projects, but there also is like projects that him and I can do together that are like more so mine, that are my creative and things that I want to get done. But it's just amplified when we do it together, you know? So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe we'll think of something and it'll be awesome and you guys will see it sometime soon, but I don't know.
Do you miss Iron Man?
Oh my God, my dog. Well, not really my dog
not
at
really
all.
Your dog. not anymore.
I literally have like, there was a brand that sent me a PR package and they put a Polaroid of me and Iron Man, like my Instagram picture, in the PR package. And I still have it. It's like in my bathroom because like she's so cute. But we got her back for a day because I know the owner. And the owner actually said like she'll take her for hikes and walks and stuff. And she'll be like, oh my God, is that Iron Man? Like David and Natalie's dog? Like people recognize the dog just from like our, you know, things.
Whoa.
Yeah. Famous
cool.
little doggy.
Yeah.
And we took her for the day just to like see what it was like and just see her like grown up. She's like mid-sized now, not a puppy. And I was so thankful that I didn't have a dog. It's just so much work. Cause like now that was like during quarantine, the start of it, and we were mm-hmm. literally doing nothing. And now things have started to pick up a little more and like where I'm actually working more and like having to leave the house and like get things done. And it was like impossible because like she's a good dog. She's pretty chill, but you just like worry if she's like peeing in the house or taking a shit, and like God forbid she took a shit right in David's room like that day.
Oof.
And, yeah.
I mean, he had it coming.
He definitely had it coming.
I was getting some cat fever though the other night.
Cat fever?
Cat fever.
I want a cat.
Mm.
I really do. I want to get a Scottish Fold.
What's that?
They're like the cute ones with like the little folded ears. Like Taylor Swift always has a bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah.
They're really sweet. And I know someone who's like selling one, but Patricia's allergic. Mm. But there's that shot that you can... What?
I said, well, there goes that.
But there's apparently a shot that you can take that doesn't make you allergic anymore.
You're going to shoot up Patricia just so you can have a cat?
Yeah, I would. I had some friends who DM'd me and said that they had the shot done and it was like the best decision ever.
I mean, Matt's all about the medical community now. He got the LASIK surgery done. He cured his psoriasis. He's
Mike, are you going to get LASIK?
Probably not.
You were so close to getting it right after I got it done.
I know, but it's so scary to me still.
Why?
Because have you seen what they do?
Yeah, but like
they run a meat slicer over your eye and then lift off the flap, shoot a laser in it, and then put the flap back
and
down.
Your vision is healed.
I know, but like, what if you sneeze?
I mean, you're knocked out, right?
A Valium, like your threshold of sneezing and twitching around is at its bare minimum.
I know. I just need a little bit more time to marinate on it. Like, I know Joe just got it too. You just got it. Like.
Well, you wear glasses a lot. You don't put in contacts. The idea of contacts were kind of grossing me out for a while.
I don't like it. I wish I could just see, but...
But you like wearing glasses.
Yeah, I love my glasses.
You need glasses, Natalie.
Well, yeah.
What do you mean by that?
She'll like, when we're like hanging out, she'll be like, wait, what does that say? And then it's like I'm squinting.
Yeah, I squint all the time.
Like, you have vision that requires glasses to be worn more than you wear them.
I know. I don't know how you forget.
You what?
I'll just like forget them around the house and I'll just try to squint my way through everything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she should be wearing them.
Squinting through life.
Yeah. The Natalie Maraduena story.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, I do have a question for Natalie.
Mm. Okay.
What is your favorite part of your job?
My favorite part of my job, the variety. I think like, aside from like doing the David has done a really good job of transitioning himself from like influencer world. Like, he kind of dips in traditional and digital. And, so we get like a taste, like he did the Nickelodeon show last year and we were on set every day of Nickelodeon, just a huge network. And that was like a really cool experience. And then we do the typical Instagram, we do the YouTube videos, we have the merchandise, which is that's actually one of my favorite parts is the merchandise. So I love like creating, I basically have taken over Clickbait and David's vlog and the whole Fanjoy thing. And, I send them all the designs and I go back and forth with them and we critique and we edit and we do the colorways and it's just like, it's so much fun. And like fashion is like what I love. So the Clickbait, the merch, all that stuff is probably one of my more favorite things that I get to do. But yeah, this is the variety because we just do so much. It's
crazy.
You're
not sitting in an office with the same three people every single day doing the same thing.
Right.
When you think back on like stunts or like giveaways or something or trips that you've taken, what are the things that you think back on of like, oh, that was the best?
Hold on, let me ask that question.
Okay.
I was just about to ask it.
Go for it.
Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, when you think back on all the stunts and giveaways.
Welcome back to plagiarism with Matt.
Which part of that you're like, damn, that was great?
Wait, hold, are you gonna get your voice asking that or you want to leave that like that?
I think it's kind of funny how it sounds because right when you started asking that question, I wanted to ask it. So,
are you going to keep that in that you took his question?
I just need to know how I'm going to cut this.
It's not took the question. I just.
You asked the question too.
Pretty much. And you had just said it. So. No, this is funny. Keep it in. But yeah, I was just about to ask that question, Mike.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right.
Well, to answer both of your questions. I can tell you, like, hands down, my least favorite bit that we've ever done.
Oh, yeah.
And that one's just so memorable because I think I literally was like it was the U-Haul bit that we did. I fucking hated the U-Haul bits with the life of me.
With the swimming pool in it that was sliding back and forth?
So there was multiple of them. Just like getting the U-Haul, like I'm underage, so I have to like, you have to get a driver, and like I had to call Jason. It's a whole like logistical thing. And then getting all the materials, and David would always like wake up in the morning and be like, I want to do a U-Haul bit today. So I just have to, it was very like crunch time and chaotic. And there's a lot of moving parts with that, but the one in particular that I hated was, we set up like a dining table, like a dinner set inside, and the boys were eating. I think it was like Todd, Scott, Jason, David were all having, they were having dinner inside the U-Haul, and I was driving it. And, it was just like, he wanted tables and chairs, and he wanted everything like under $500 or something like that. So I had to go to like all the different Goodwills around here and like buy the U-Haul. I was like lifting tables and chairs into the back of this U-Haul. I had to find the right china, the right, like breakable glassware. And then everything, I had to fill it up with milk and cereal. So then I set up the thing. Everyone came in, we had our dinner. I gunned it with the U-Haul. I stopped, everything went flying, blah, blah, blah. And now the U-Haul has got like shattered glass everywhere.
Real glass?
Or like, you know, ceramic.
Oh, yeah.
Ceramic
stuff. Oh my, yeah.
And milk's dripping from the ceilings. And I'm at like, I load everybody off the U-Haul, and everyone goes back inside and like, you know, takes a shower and goes on with their day. And I'm sitting outside, it's like the middle of summer, it's like 100 degrees, and it just smells like rotten, like warm milk. And I'm sitting there for like 2 hours, just like scrubbing it clean, 'cause you can't bring it back with milk and smelling bad.
And this is pre-Taylor.
You could have like called me. I would have came and helped you.
But it's
you
my job. It's my job.
Okay. Would have helped.
But it was just, and everyone was just like, everyone was coming in and out of the house. Like I was just, it wasn't anybody's fault. Like it's my job. I had to clean it up, but it was just like, everyone was coming inside of the house, in and out, like getting their Postmates and their fucking Chipotle sandwiches and shit. And I was just like scrubbing away at this milky glass U-Haul. And I just like, I hated it. It just felt like, I felt like Cinderella in her, you know,
everyone's walking in, having a good time, going to the pool, cracking white claws, and that's your scrubbing milk that you poured, and then you drove the car to, made the mess, and then you had to clean it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So that's the bottom.
That's the bottom.
What's the
tip of the top?
I want to pick one that's not cliche. 'Cause like my cliche answer is when David and Lorraine got married.
Oh, I wouldn't even think of that one. I would think of when you got like one of your cars.
I mean, those are fuck Mike. I should have said that. anyway, no, those are great, but like there's a different like emotional feeling when like something else has happened. Like, I mean, I love my cars, obviously.
Was there a lot? I don't know much about this Lorraine thing. Can you dive into that?
Oh, David married Jason's.
I know, but I don't know what went into that or like what.
Okay.
That was like, I mean, everything was a secret. So nobody even knew. No one had even known that, I think, that we left LA. So we did everything in like 3 days. And it was just so funny. Like, it was just David and I like going to propose to his new wife in Boston. And so I remember like we flew to Boston overnight, and we landed, and we had to get him like a little suit. So we went to the mall like in Lorraine's town in like Newbury, Massachusetts. And we got him like a cheap little like $50 tux from like TJ Maxx or some suit, whatever. And we went to like, you know, those vending carts in the mall with like the fake huge diamond rings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We bought her a diamond ring, and we bought her some flowers, and everywhere we went, David was like, I'm proposing to my wife today. And it was just like, so it was like such good vibes and spirits, and like Lorraine is such a positive energy. And so we went to her place, we proposed to her. She was beyond confused. And
did you give her a heads up or no?
Well, so we told her, we're like, hey, we mailed you a little gift. It's going to be coming in the mail today around 4 p.m. because that was when we were getting there. And we got there, we got to her place, and we told her, and she literally had like an hour, maybe 30 minutes to an hour to like pack up her stuff so we could get on our flight to Vegas to like go get them
out. The package at 4 p.m. being David.
Being David.
Asking
her
to marry him.
Right.
Okay.
So we showed up at her door like 4, and I was like, hey, I think the package is delivered, like check out front. Just don't want to make sure it doesn't get stolen. So she came out front and David was there. And she packed up her stuff, and she thought it was hilarious that like we were going to mess around with Jason. And and we took her, we went to Vegas. And we went to Little White Chapel, which is where Joe Jonas and Sophia Turner got married. It's a very famous little church in Vegas. And we tried on wedding dresses. I tried on like a bunch of like flower girl dresses. And they have like all this, like you go upstairs to the chapel and they have stock of just wedding dresses every size, tuxes of every size, flower girl, whatever you need. And we got like the whole pack. It was just such a funny thing. Like it just was like so surreal. Like,
and absurd and just yeah. So good energy.
How many weddings is that place doing a day?
Tons. And they're known for, they have like a drive through thing.
Oh.
So you can drive through, get, you know, ordained or whatever, literally in your car and then
where
be
is
off.
It? In Vegas? Or?
In Vegas, yeah.
And it's 100% legit though.
Yeah, it's legit. Well, you have to go to the courthouse first. So we went to the courthouse and I remember like we were so David's like accounting team or whatever was like, you better get a prenup. And we're like, this woman is not going to take all of his money and
yeah.
run.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you never know. It's just like, it was just so funny. And it was such a thing. And everybody on like his team was just like, this is insane. I can't believe you're doing this. And we're like, it's literally, Lorraine's like a little 75-year-old woman. Like,
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah.
But so then we did that and they got married and we rushed to the plane and we took a first class. We all flew to Hawaii for the honeymoon. And we that was like through the night as well. We woke up in Hawaii and we went kayaking. We went to a luau. We went to dinner. We went to another dinner at David's favorite place. And we just did so many things in like such a short little span of time. I was just like amazed that we got it all done. I don't know. It was really fun, though.
I want to rewatch that video now. I think I only saw it like the one day it came out. I don't know if I've seen it.
I remember, yeah, you guys kept it such a mystery from us, and it wasn't until you were already in Hawaii or you had just got married mm-hmm. we all found out.
Right.
We could not believe it.
I mean, it's an amazing, brilliant bit to do.
So good. So good.
And doesn't he show the video to Jason of it all happening?
Yeah,
yeah.
So then he like,
oh, it's such a good vlog.
Yeah, he confronted Jason with like the papers and being like, I'm your daddy, bitch. that was a good one. I don't know.
Do you miss it?
I definitely miss the chaos. And this actually, Taylor and I talk about this a lot because we were just running around doing so many things. And now we're still busy, but it's a different kind of busy. But I don't know. It's like I miss it and I don't, because it was really stressful and it's definitely something that's like you'll burn out eventually. Mm-hmm. And like that's like that YouTuber burnout that they always talk about. But I do miss it because it like the sense of like even like when we were posting 3 times a week and that was like just when David and I doing everything. And I don't know how the hell we got that done. Like I don't know how. It's just like you have to be, it's like go, 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 go. And like we're going from the Antonians to the boys' house to our house to the car. It's just like so many, it's just all day long, like constantly. But I mean, I think like David and I are probably like the healthiest, contrary to the whole pandemic thing going on right now, but like the healthiest we've ever been because we're like resting and we're sane, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
When you're in that mindset of it has to happen, especially someone like David, like he has that mindset of there is no option. It's just happening.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like one of the first times when you guys had a tour, and it might've been like 2017.
Yeah.
One of the nights you guys came to New York when I was still living there for the tour, David was filming stuff. And then we were at like an event or something. And he was like, oh, I got to go back to my hotel room because I got to upload tonight. And it was like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, what do you mean you have to upload tonight? Just upload it tomorrow. He's like, no, I don't go to sleep until I upload.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, if you want to come, like you can watch me edit. And then I went with him. That was the first time we ever like worked, like edited anything together.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed up until 7:30 in the morning. And I just like, it is super fun to do that. But like, he was like, I will not go to sleep until this is uploaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, let's see how you do this. And then he just for 5 hours after a full day, a tour, mm-hmm. events, and then sits down and opens the laptop and doesn't go to bed. And that was 3 nights a week. Like that mentality, I think when you're in it, you don't realize how insane it is. And now you probably have a little bit more perspective of like,
totally
how the, you know, and it was only the two of you. And mm-hmm. it was just like,
I remember when I first started, I gave David the cutoff of 10 PM. I was like, and I thought that was like, okay, stop texting me and calling me at 10 PM. But like, that was like, we're going to edit up until 10 PM and you can leave right at 10 PM.
At 10 PM.
But then that was like, right. That was like nice. And then it just started inching. Then it was midnight. We're like, okay, we have to get the vlog up by midnight.
Yeah.
And then it was like, we have to get it up before sunrise, you know?
And then there were some days where we'd get it up at like 2 a.m. on like Saturday when it was a Friday vlog because he was just editing. We didn't get home from Salo Ranch or whatever until 4 in the morning, and then he'd edit until 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And like I'd come at like 8:30 in the morning and edit until 2 p.m. And like that's Friday's vlog is he just didn't go to sleep until it was uploaded. But
yeah, it's crazy.
It's a little bit different now, I guess.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, we're all excited to see what happens next, Natalie.
Yeah, me too.
I'm very excited.
Is there anything you want to like plug, promote, share, enlighten us about?
Not really. I mean, I have an Instagram. You guys can follow me on Instagram if you want. That's about it, people.
Are you going to start a podcast?
No, I have like, I mean, I'm on like, I do the Views podcast with Jason and David, and I feel like I'm like the honorary
third host,
daily guest, or third co-host or whatever. Which is, I have fun doing that with them, but no, I don't have time to do my own podcast.
Did you have fun today?
Yeah, I love talking. Like I could talk, and that's what David always gets kind of annoyed when we're doing the Views podcast. Sorry, we're talking for a long time, but because I'll just talk, I'll just keep talking, rambling, and he'll be like, he likes everything very like short and concise, like get the story done and have like 28 stories in one podcast, you know. And but Jason and I will just ramble.
I think you're a natural.
Thank you.
Will you come back once we have a video version?
Sure, I'd love to be on video.
Oh yeah. Natalie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Okay. Guys, make sure you follow Natalie on her Instagram and wherever else.
Keep a lookout for her appearance on Maxim Hot 100 2020
or Forbes Under 30. 30 right. Under 30.
The Pulitzer Prize, everything, all of it. It's coming Natalie's way.
Do you have fun?
Okay. Yeah, it's so much fun.
That's all that matters.
Awesome.
Thank you guys for listening.